The Tom Woods Show, episode 521.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
If you're like me, you have no graphic design skills, but you need a lot of graphics designed. Well, check out Moon Pixlar, which creates beautiful graphics for you without the frustration and without emptying your wallet. Check it out at tomwoods.com/moon. Welcome to the promised episode on the dark net. I will leave it to our guest to tell us exactly what the dark net is all about, but I know you're going to find this episode interesting, partly because you're going to learn something about the internet that you probably didn't know, but secondly, there are interesting conclusions that might be of particular interest to libertarians in all this. And joining me to help understand this and to talk to us about it is Jamie Bartlett, who is the director of the Center for the Analysis of Social Media at Demos, which is a think tank in Britain. As a matter of fact, Jamie Bartlett is joining us from Britain today, and he is the author of Net, Inside the Digital Underworld. We will be linking to it, of course, on the show notes page. Today's link is tomwoods.com/521. One quick reminder, I've been telling you about an entrepreneur who has been sort of a mentor of mine over the years, Eben Pagan, and he's got a program that helps you identify what your idea would be that would help you to develop a digital product and thereby an online business. I've been doing this myself, so I'm not just throwing something at you that I know nothing about. This is what I do. This is all I do, and I'm having rather a good time doing it. So you can be part of this, too, by checking out his video series. I guess he's got one final video up, and then he's taken them all down at the end of the day or partway through the day tomorrow, Thursday, October 29th, I guess. So head over there, tomwoods.com/digital, and he's worth listening to. Even if you decide that maybe this particular program isn't for you, he's definitely somebody you're going to want to keep your eye on in the future. All right, let's talk now to Jamie Bartlett. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I've had several people refer you to me, specifically the TED Talk you gave. We will post that on today's show notes page, tomwoods.com/521. And, of course, to your book as well, which is The Dark Net, Inside the Digital Underworld. For this episode, I'm going to need you to treat me like I'm seven, because I really, you know, I use the internet all the time, but I, you know, I'm so naive and square, I frankly wasn't aware of the stuff that you're talking about in the book. I knew about Silk Road, but this whole dark net that you're talking about, and you need a special browser even to get there, is totally beyond my knowledge base. So let's start off with you give us a basic overview of what you mean when you use the term dark net.
It's a good first question because it's one that people misuse. In fact, I misuse it myself sometimes. But I'll give you my best shot at this. So make a distinction between my book called The Dark Net is really about all the different strange and shocking subcultures that we internet users end up in when we think we're hidden by the screen or protected by online anonymity. And, you know, that covers the internet that we all know and use every day, Facebook and YouTube and forums and blogs. But part of the book is about this other bit of the internet, and this is what people often refer to as the dark net. It's an encrypted network of between 5 and 30,000 sites that are extraordinarily difficult to censor or close down because they use a very sort of sophisticated system of encryption that masks where they are physically located. You know, all websites have to be physically located somewhere on a server where the data is kept and which you connect to with your computer when you're trying to access them. Now, if you don't know where that is, it is actually quite difficult to censor or remove the content. Now, you get onto this network with a special browser. You can only get on it with a special browser called the Tor browser. It stands for the Onion Router. And it's a browser that allows you to browse the normal internet without giving away your IP address. Stop me if any of this is getting too complicated.
No, I'm with you with IP address. That's about my limit, but I'm with you.
That's good. That's the main thing. So everyone has an IP address when they go onto the internet, but with this Tor browser, it sort of it obscures that by by encrypting your IP address and then routing your request to go to a website via several different computers that use the same software around the world. And so when it sort of spits out your request to go to a website, it's coming from a different computer to your own. That's the sort of genius of it. And what it means is you can browse the net without anybody knowing where you are in the world. So a lot of people use this on the normal internet for reasons good and for reasons ill. And it's also the way you get onto this encrypted dark net, technically called Tor Hidden Services. And this is a sort of, I guess you could really call it the Wild West of the internet, because you know, anybody with something to hide, whether that's good or bad, finds quite a natural home there.
Now, anyone can get the Tor browser. I'm looking at it right now on my computer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the term the darknet makes it sound quite terrifying and possibly illegal, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the Tor browser itself, which has around 3 million daily users, is perfectly legal, perfectly legitimate. For a long time, it's been funded. I'm not sure if it's still funded, but it might be, by the US State Department because of the incredible benefits it has for privacy and sort of a circumnavigating censorship around the world. Nothing wrong with using that browser at all. Nothing illegal about it. But of course, it sort of depends what you do with it, but you could make the same case with any web browser.
Well, then I am going to link to the Tor browser at tomwoods.com/521. Why not, right?
Well, absolutely, why not? And you know what? I mean, I think more and more people are using this browser because they see the benefits that it can have for freedom and for democracy and for free expression around the world. So, yes, go right ahead and do that.
All right. Now, let me ask again a seven-year-old type question. I mean, I don't know anything about this whole idea that there are sites out there that I can't reach except through this means. Do these sites have URLs that would look familiar to me?
No, so the URLs don't look familiar to you because they all finish in .onion. You're probably used to .com or .co.uk or sort of a load of what are called top level domain names like this. This one, the darknet sites end .onion, and they are a string of meaningless numbers and letters sort of jumbled together. So unlike websites that you visit, which are usually sort of memorable names and words to help you remember them, this doesn't really have that. And that does make it quite difficult to navigate. So a lot of people, when they go onto this network, they start off at what's called sort of an index page, a bit like a Wikipedia page, which lists sort of lots and lots of the most popular sites. So certainly in terms of navigation and how the URLs look, it does feel a little different. But, you know, in every other way, it feels much the same because it's a web browser connecting to a website. And it doesn't take long before you forget that you're on a different network. Because the sort of basic functionality is really exactly the same as anywhere else on the net.
But on these sites, is all the activity necessarily illegal? What types of activities would be taking place there?
Yeah, so you can. I mean, as ever, it's the people with something to hide that are often the first to look for ways of hiding. So on these networks, you will find, and this is the thing I talked about in my TED talk, you will find the darknet markets, anonymous marketplaces where nearly everything can be bought and sold, but especially illegal narcotics. There are huge amounts of illegal pornography sites hosted there, all very difficult to censor. But on the flip side, there's other good reasons to remain hidden. And so you will find whistleblowing sites, you will find the WikiLeaks cache, you will find a lot of human rights activists share resources and tips and advice there. But actually, they're the sort of extreme fringes, and that is still what dominates the traffic and the sites on the dark net. But I actually think that might be changing slowly, because I think a lot of people are worried about their internet privacy and who's watching them and who's monitoring them. And on the dark net, that's all a lot harder to do, of course. So I think you might find that parts of the dark net start becoming a little more mainstream. So recently, Facebook opened a site there as well. So you can now access Facebook with your Tor browser on the dark
net. I was going to ask you about that. What purpose does that serve?
One of the general reasons people use the Tor browser is because they don't like being followed around by pop-up adverts on the net. And you must have had that happen to you. It feels like you're being, every sort of single click and swipe is being captured, and then you're being advertised products back to you based on things you browsed last week. Now, with a Tor browser, that sort of thing doesn't really happen. And so a lot of people just like going to normal internet sites using a Tor browser.
I see.
Because they then can avoid all of that. Now, you can go onto Facebook with a Tor browser on the normal internet. But sometimes Facebook doesn't let you on there because it recognizes that the Tor browser is a little strange and suspects that some kind of abnormal activity is taking place, so it can block you. But if you access Facebook on the dark net using the Tor browser, it will let you straight in. Now, for Facebook as well, they think that it's a potentially very valuable security measure. So, you know, in a lot of parts of the world, people are worried that governments that aren't quite as scrupulous as maybe ours set up fake Facebook websites. So it looks like you're linking to Facebook.com, but you really are not. Now, if you use a Tor browser and go through the darknet, for very complicated reasons that I won't really go into, that also is a lot more difficult to do. So from a user's perspective, especially in more dangerous parts of the world, it can actually be safer and more secure to go onto Facebook with your Tor browser.
Well, I'm sitting here using my Chrome browser, and if I'm looking for something, I can sometimes take a guess. And if I'm looking for CNN, I could just type in CNN.com. I can go to Google and I can find what I need. But what you're talking about with URLs that are a string of unintelligible, you know, string of characters,
yep.
How do I get in? How do I find my way in? Or is that the idea? I can't get in. How do I become part of that group?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and a very general point first, of course, is that you sort of trade convenience and ease of use and speed with security here. So if you want it all very easy and simple, you stick with your normal browser. If you want it safer and secure but a bit slower, and you're willing to pay that price, then you can use a Tor browser. And so to respond directly to your question, I mentioned before that there's these index sites that you go to. And those index sites are where most of the sort of most popular darknet sites are listed, and they just have the links there ready for you to access. So how do you find the index sites?
Yeah.
Well, there's a sort of growing number of quote-unquote clearnet sites that are dedicated to the darknet. So if you like, it's almost a portal in. It's a way that you can go onto the normal internet and search out what the link is to get onto the darknet. And so places like Reddit, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, will have special subreddit groups dedicated to the darknet that will give you the link to get into the network. Similarly, there's websites like deep.web.com that are constantly sort of updating links to the biggest index sites. So it's not actually that difficult to find your way in. And of course, once you're in, you're in, and it's then really up to you to stay careful and safe.
Tell me about the role of Bitcoin on the darknet.
Well, Bitcoin has always had sort of, if you imagine that the darknet in part is a bit of a libertarian vision of an internet that's free of government and third-party censorship, And it so has a natural affinity with Bitcoin, which is a currency system that shares many of the same principles. Now, Bitcoin was especially popular and is still especially popular among members or among users of the marketplaces that are on the darknet. So when you go onto these online marketplaces on the darknet, you obviously have to find a way of paying for your product. And the most popular, but not the only, but the most popular form of payment is the cryptocurrency Bitcoin, because of that bit of extra security and safety that it allows you to have.
So is this primarily going to be used? Would I be using Bitcoin and the darknet for drug purchases only? Or is it just because people who have an attachment to Bitcoin for ideological reasons, they want to use it in as many exchanges as possible, but then you could do that on the regular net?
Yeah, there's a bit of both. I think probably 3 or 4 years ago, before Bitcoin became a little more mainstream, the darknet was one of the only places you could use Bitcoin. And so people were going there to use it because it was the most vibrant Bitcoin market, if you like. But that's changed now, of course. And there's a pub down the road from me where you can use Bitcoin to buy your drinks. But most people who go onto the darknet markets, honestly speaking, they are there to buy and sell drugs. It's by far the most popular category of products. But These darknet markets are anonymous marketplaces where more or less anything can be bought and sold. So it doesn't need to only be recreational drugs. In fact, there's a huge amount of counterfeit goods that are sold there, fake identification, prescription drugs. For a while last year, one of the most popular selling items on the darknet markets was fake vouchers for our biggest supermarket chain here in the UK. And I've seen people there selling poetry and books and artwork and all sorts of things. So you can buy and sell a wide variety of goods there. But if I'm honest with you, then recreational drugs are by far the most popular.
All right, I'd like to ask you about Silk Road. But before I do that, let's just pause for this message. You know what I've spent a fortune on over the years? Graphic design. Because that's not a skill I've been blessed with, to put it mildly. So every time I need something designed, I'm paying hundreds of dollars to a designer, or heaven help me, I'm trying to do it myself. And if you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, or a marketer, you know exactly what I mean. Well, I'm happy to say there is finally a solution for people like you and me. It's a wonderful new product, Moon Pixlar. It's drag and drop simple. Just use one of the 1,200 existing templates, drag and drop what you want, add your text, and before you know it, you've got a beautiful graphic without the frustration or the hundreds of dollars spent. And the sky's the limit. Banners, logos, business cards, infographics, blog post graphics, website headers, Facebook posts, flyers, ad images, and on and on and on. Plus, get 3 awesome bonuses when you check it out through tomwoods.com/moon. Now, what happened with Silk Road in all this? Because I did an episode on Silk Road, the Silk Road Marketplace. That was part of the darknet. I couldn't have just gotten to there through Chrome.
That's absolutely right. You couldn't. You needed this. The Silk Road was the most popular of the darknet markets, and it
did get shut down.
It did get shut down. None of these marketplaces are completely infallible. It did get shut down. It got shut down about 18 months ago, and fairly recently, the person that was running it, Ross Ulbricht, was convicted multiple life sentences for his role in the site. It did get shut down. One of the ways it got shut down, or the reasons it got shut down, was because Ross Ulbricht made a number of errors in his security and as when he was running the site. And it was a very long and careful FBI investigation into the site. But here's the thing. After the Silk Road got shut down and everyone predicted the end of this sort of online marketplace, a lot of imitation sites sprung up, and actually the marketplaces proliferated, and now there are more markets online on the darknet than ever before, selling at least as many products, probably far more products than there were when it was just the Silk Road. And so even though they're not perfect and mistakes do happen and they have all sorts of difficulties, they are still functioning, they're still thriving, and they're always innovating and trying to come up with ways of evading surveillance.
One thing you mentioned in your TED talk is that, you know, whether you like the use of recreational illegal drugs or not, there is, you know, presumably we don't want these people who use them to die. And that one thing that has developed on the dark net is that there is a kind of, even though there's no government around to do any regulation and there are no police to throw people in jail, nevertheless, there is a kind of quality control that has emerged.
Yeah, that's right. And I found that the most shocking thing of all, and it really wasn't what I was expecting. When I spent time on the Silk Road and other associated sites, what struck me first of all was that this was a functioning, highly competitive marketplace. And because what it does is introduces competition and choice, just like Amazon or eBay. I mean, you have a choice between hundreds of different vendors selling thousands of different products, all sort of regulated by consumer feedback, i.e. user reviews on the products they're buying, just like Amazon and eBay. You have what you'd expect to find in any marketplace, which is vendors desperately competing for repeat custom and desperately trying to keep their customers happy by providing high quality products. And that tends to result in product quality getting better and price getting lower. And that's exactly what happens on the darknet markets. And so I was left in a sort of bit of a moral conundrum here, which is that the marketplaces may make it easier for people to access all sorts of drugs, but I think the drugs that they do access on the darknet are safer and more predictable in their purity than those that you buy on the streets. And so the question, as a researcher, what do we do about that? Is that actually a good thing for society or a bad thing? And I sort of rather think it depends on your view of the world.
Well, I mean, I'm inclined to think it's a good thing because even if you have a situation where somebody is really has some kind of problem and just can't manage his drug use well at all, because I'm sure there are people who recreationally use these things and they manage to make it work with their lives, and that's none of my business. I have enough of my own problems to deal with, but I don't want these people to die. I mean, the longer they live, the greater chance their lives can be turned around. And so this, you know, that seems to me to be a good innovation from the point of view of human welfare. It's either that or they engage in this behavior in a much more dangerous way. So
yeah, I tend to agree because I mean history suggests that, well, you know, we haven't exactly done brilliantly well so far with minimizing harm to individuals you know, with our drugs policy. And if minimizing harm is one of your principal aims, then certainly think that these marketplaces are a good thing. Of course, there are going to be other problems though, because I sort of feel that if they make drugs that much easier for people to access, which I think they do, the one thing we can be sure of is that more people are going to start taking them. And then there's all the associated problems with that. So what you might end up doing is creating more addicts, but addicts that consume in a safer way. And that isn't an easy, it's a sort of, creates a bit of a dilemma still, I think.
No, I understand that. We prefer not to see people in that situation. On the other hand, there is some encouraging numbers coming out of, for example, a place like Portugal, which has experimented with decriminalization across a range of drug classes, and their results have been perhaps counterintuitive in terms of drug use and addicts and problems. So, you know, it may not have the results that you know we would prefer not to see. Now, you said early on that freedom is one of the reasons that the dark net is so interesting. It's not and you said that people who might be engaged in, let's say, activities that we might not approve of tend to be the ones who are the pioneers in an area like this. But we shouldn't say to ourselves, well, the dark net is just for people engaged in underhanded activity, because that's not the case. And maybe it's likely to be less proportionately the case as time goes on. Maybe you can comment.
Yeah, that you're right. That isn't the case. And indeed, the people who keep this network alive, the people who have created the web browser, allowed it to function, make sure that they're kicking at the tires to check that there aren't any vulnerabilities. These people are doing it not for illegal drugs markets or illegal pornography. They're doing it for journalists and human rights activists and democratic activists around the world. And the Tor browser in particular, I think, is absolutely invaluable for so many people. A really, like, literally a matter of life and death for them having this. And so there's going to be people misusing it, and there already are people misusing it, and there's going to be difficulties for law enforcement trying to get, you know, trying to identify and stop genuine wrongdoers. But in the end, you sort of ask yourself, do we punish all the good guys because the bad guys are misusing something?
There you go. And I think that's the key point.
Yeah, and in the end, as a sort of moral principle, I think that's a very bad one to take. And so, yeah, that's why, yes, people are going to misuse it. But I tend to think you're right. I think as more people hear about this and more people use it, if I have trust in humans, and I do, then I think more people will use it for good as well for evil.
Yeah. Well, I want to urge people, I find this a fascinating topic, even though, as you can tell, I'm a real newbie with this, but I'd like to learn more. I certainly want to urge people to check out tomwoods.com/521, because there we will link to your book, Darknet, Inside the Digital Underworld. How could you not want to read a book with that title? Come on now, people. I mean, don't tell me all day long. I have so many books to read. All right, put those away and read this one. Also, your TED Talk and the Tor browser itself. This is my flirting with danger here. That's as close as I get. Linking to the Tor browser.
Well, it sounds like an excellent resource, an excellent set of resources, if I might say.
Well, very good. And I feel the same way. Well, again, I appreciate your time so much. We've hit the tip of the iceberg, but as I always say on this show, leave them wanting more. Now we've given you the basic information. Now go and learn some more. Jamie Bartlett, thanks so much for your time.
Thomas, thank you so much for having me.
All right. The book is The Dark Net. Make sure and check it out. TomWoods.com/521, as I just said. I have a funny website. Not funny is, I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but clever is really what I mean. And it's called Meme Policeman. You know how you're on Facebook and people are spreading around these graphics or memes? And I know I'm not technically using the word meme correctly, but who cares? And you see these things, and they make all kinds of crazy claims about how wonderful Sweden is, or how terrible capitalism is, or whatever it is. It makes two or three claims, or one major claim, and you know it's wrong, but maybe you don't necessarily know all the details of that particular situation. Well, that's what Meme Policeman is for. This is such a great idea. A guy just started a free website called, it's a libertarian, and it's called memepoliceman.com. And the tagline is to protect and serve against false and misleading memes. So great. What a great idea. I can't believe I didn't think of this. Or actually, I'm glad I didn't, because I would have started it and I wouldn't have had time to do it. So memepoliceman.com, it goes through all these things that you see all the time. And it's just one after the other, like the climate change and the so-called 97% of scientists statistic. Well, regardless of your opinion on climate change, the 97% of scientists statistic is totally bogus and absolutely unacceptable to any rational person. As soon as you look into it, you see that it's completely phony. So it's, but on the other hand, he also will go through people, you know, posting memes, let's say, who might be neoconservatives. And they'll post something about George Washington talking about guns. Well, if George Washington never said this thing about guns, the meme policeman will also point that out. So you might consider checking it out at memepoliceman.com. When I heard this idea, I thought, now that is a good idea. That's a good website idea. Meme policeman. Boy, do we need that meme policeman. There's a policeman we can all stand behind. Now, I'll point out that I particularly wanted to let you know about this because of all the websites I've seen in the past month or so, this is the one that stood out to me the most. But also, the only reason I found out about it was that the person who started it up used my publicity link. Because I say, if you want to start up a blog and you get your hosting through my special link, which gets you the lowest possible price on hosting, then I'll publicize your site. I'll, you know, put it in my newsletter or whatever. But this one is just so good. I mean, this, I'm telling you, I would love to be doing this. If I weren't doing the show, I would be the meme policeman. So I wanted to give it a special boost here on the show, memepoliceman.com. If you're thinking of starting up a blog or a website, I've got a free ebook to help you out. I got some free video tutorials, a whole bunch of free bonuses. Plus, I'll give you a shout out for your new site. So check that out, tomwoods.com/publicity. Tomorrow is one of these episodes that gets a gazillion listens because anytime Lou Rockwell is on, people tune in. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about the GOP debate that it is my duty to watch for you tonight. So think of yourself while you're sitting around, you know, enjoying your after-dinner drink and, you know, using your tablet and sitting around with your family. I want you to think of me. Me, your servant Tom Woods, whom you know will be sitting around, instead of doing any of those things, watching the Republican debate so that I can tell you about it and analyze it for you the next day. So Lou and I will be recording it at 9 in the morning Central Time, because that's the earliest I can do it. I have kids to take care of in the morning. So 9 o'clock a.m., we'll be recording it. And then, unfortunately, I have a meeting or two after that, but I am going to Zoom to get that thing up as quickly as possible so that at the very least you can have it at lunchtime so that you can secretly be listening to it during the rest of your workday, or you can openly listen to it on your commute on the way home. So there's that. I hope you will listen because I don't know what they're going to say on the debate tonight, but I know that whatever Lou is going to say is going to be insightful and very much worth listening to. Thanks for being with me today. See you tomorrow.